Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Come into the studio and like things are not where they're supposed to be, and there's stuff where
it's all body,
you know,
fault.
Stuff isn't supposed to be, and you know, and then like buttons are pressed that I don't, and like fortunately I knew what to press immediately to remedy whatever the heck just happened.
Woman, if you're listening, get down here.
No, it's not that serious, but I mean, you know. However, I do want to mention Peakless Mountaineer. Since you're here, last week you were a bit tardy to the game. Now, you did notify us, which is great, and we appreciate that.
However, tardy
nonetheless, and we sort of alluded to a crown of shame.
You did.
And that crown of shame was never produced.
Because we are not content producers.
Yeah, and our producers didn't produce content for us either.
You're also not object producers.
Right. However, there is this Barbie pin here.
Ooh. Hold it up to the camera so the people can see.
Yeah, hold it up to the camera. I don't know which camera is functioning right now. Check over there. Oh, it might be mine.
I'm going to hold it up to the one that I can actually, like, reach.
Yeah.
It's now the pin of shame.
So even though, like, that was just sort of probably randomly left here by, you know, one of the people that were in the studio before us, that has now become the pin of shame.
I see.
So we're not going to ask you to put it on or anything, but we're just going to ask you to, like, hold it up to the camera several times as if it were a scarlet letter.
Yeah.
And you've earned that, my friend.
I see.
And you get evicted from the Mojo Jojo Casa House, or whatever it was called in the movie.
No. Just, I want to say thank you very little.
Mojo Dojo.
Oh, okay.
Casa House.
Sorry. I like Powerpuff Girls, too.
In the spirit of Caddyshack, the movie, I want to say, Peakless, thank you very little. It was ungratefully depreciated.
Wow.
Well, you're unwelcome.
Very well.
By the way, that is a fantastic movie.
It certainly is. It's like, what's the kid's name? Randy or something?
I forget.
Yeah, Randy, do you do drugs? He's like, every day, sir. It's like, good. What's the name of the show?
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is Free Talk Live.
Is he wrong?
He's not wrong. All right. He's correct.
Do you know the phone number?
603-283-6160.
Nice. So if you want to call and join us tonight, that is the number, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's...
Peakless Mountaineer.
Richie Rich.
And I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. We've got a plethora... Or plethora, depending on, you know, if you're...
Whether you'd like to pronounce it correctly or not.
Well, which one's correct?
Plethora.
Really?
Yeah, look it up.
Why not plethora?
Because that's not how it works.
Isn't it a tomato, tomato?
Put your emphasis on the right syllable.
What about tomato or tomato? Which one's the correct one?
Are you British?
Which is the emphasis?
Are you British?
I mean, what does that
matter? Is it a lorry or is it a truck? Is it an elevator or a lift?
Is it a boot or a trunk?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know.
Well, over here...
Like, first of all, I'm not really
all that... It's a tomato.
I'm not really all that into the fruit that most people mistake as a vegetable called the tomato or the tomato, depending on if you're British or not. That's really the... Wow.
Yeah.
What about that mid-Atlantic, northern mid-Atlantic, you know,
no,
like
they're
all
pretending
that,
to be British.
Like all the... All the black and white.
All the
like
New
the,
Englanders.
Yeah, like yeah, the Jean they're Kelly pretending and
to
the...
Be, they're pretending to be British.
Like outside so of Jimmy Stewart, every movie Jimmy Stewart has ever been in, he has had the
list. Americans pretend to be British, British people pretend to be French, and French people have no one to pretend to be when they're being fancy.
That used to be one of my biggest gripes about, we'll call it pop music in the 80s. We're talking Casey Kasem's The Weekly Top 40.
Mm.
Here's my long-distance dedication, right? Like, all of the pop songs, like, when American singers would sing, they would try and sing as if they were British.
Okay.
Right? But then the British singers, they would talk like this and everything, but they would sing like they're American. Nah,
yeah,
right?
I always found that accents go away when you start singing.
What about the Australians?
Well, same thing. Like Olivia Newton-John, a famous Australian singer, right, and also a gorgeous woman, formerly. Yeah, she's seen her time. But at the time, like, you know, she was like a hot female solo pop artist, right? And she has a very sexy Australian accent, but when she sings, it's gone.
Okay.
It's very American. All her singing style, her dialect, her accent goes away, and she sounds as American as any other American singer. Now, you could take I'm trying to think of one now.
I want an Irish example.
I can't think of an Irish example.
Can they get rid of the accent?
When they sing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I've always found that to be the case. As soon as you start singing, the accents go, for the most part. Like, there are exceptions.
It either goes away or it becomes different than what you actually speak. Right, and I'm saying that because American pop singers, when they start singing, many of them start sounding British.
Okay.
Yeah. So
maybe it's just the auto tune of modern pop music.
No. This is okay. I'm talking pre auto tune.
All right.
Right. We're talking, you know, before 1990.
Well, then you had the synthesizer, and
well,
functionally the same.
And that's why all the pop hits of the 80s sounded like crap. Because it's all 8-bit samples and, you know, horrible synthesizers that do a crappy job of, well, synthesizing. Like, oh, my God, the tones themselves. Somebody once told me the 80s were filled with some of the best music that was the most poorly produced.
Okay.
Because of the advent of 8-bit digital technology, everybody took the lazy way out and went, oh, this is good enough. Instead of, you know, trying to make these samples better, create their own samples, et cetera, and so on, they had to catch up to the tech curve, right? So the tech really affects the entertainment industry first.
Did you listen to the new Beatles song?
I did.
Okay.
I was whelmed.
Okay.
I wasn't combobulated. I was just whelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed or underwhelmed. I was just like, oh, okay. And then I read about it, and I read that they did some, like, AI enhancements to some of the vocal tracks from John Lennon, of course, because he's dead, right? And then Paul...
Well, first they have to isolate the voice, which they haven't been able to do. And finally, the technology has caught up where they could have, where they were able to isolate the voice.
That tech has been around for a while. It's just that, like, the Beatles are probably the only entity that can afford to use it at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes, that is what they did. Exactly what they did. They isolated Lennon's tracks. They were able to do some, we'll call it, audio sweetening to that. Paul went into the studio, laid down some, of course, bass tracks and some backing vocals, et cetera, and so on, as did the rest of the band. It wasn't completely re-recorded. They had some of those tracks that they had saved on tape. Yes, actual tape, ladies and gentlemen, instead of in a digital format. I'm sure they transduced it into the digital domain to do this mix.
Once upon a time, men would wind magnets around reels. And that is how computers were born, children.
It is interesting.
What was the first album to have the 9th track?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I know early Beatles albums only had 4.
Okay.
Now, they did multis, so they were able to record 4 tracks and then either bust 2 of them down to 2, so they get a left and right, or bust 3 of them down to 1, so it's a mono track. And so then they would free up those other 3 tracks. So if you had 3 backing vocalists all singing harmonies, you could record 1 vocalist on 1 track, another vocalist on another track, and a 3rd vocalist on the 3rd. Once they all did their thing and you were satisfied with their takes, they were in tune. There was no auto-tune back in the day, so you had to just do takes until it was good. Then you could arm the 4th track and send the audio from the 3 tracks to that 4th track, but you had to, like, do all the audio leveling manually. There was, like, very limited compression and volume normalization available at those times. So people would literally, like, sometimes you'd get 3-4 people in a studio to, like, man the faders and take direction from, like, the audio engineer. Like, okay, now you push those up to where we said we were going to before, right? You know, you're coaching people in
advance. I've always been intimidated by those boards.
Yeah. I got to sit in on a couple of sessions when I went to school for audio where like it was that kind of a thing. It's like, here's a 24-track console. We filled all 24 tracks with sound, right? Bob, you're going to take tracks 1 through 5, and when I tell you to, you're going to push them up by a factor of 5, and then when I point at you, you're going to pull them down by a factor of 5. And same thing for, like, vocals and fills and, you know, oh, this drum roll or this guitar solo needs to be louder at this point in the song, but the rest of the guitar needs to be at this level for the remainder of the song. So when the second chorus ends and the solo kicks in, Bob, you just go ahead and push that one fader up for the guitar solo like a factor of 5. Right, and then the solo comes on, and the factor like sort of fades in casually, and it's all louder than the rest of the thing, and then it sort of fades out as he holds that last artificial harmonic, that wee, 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 and it fades out, and then the rest of the song kicks in.
Doesn't sound just right. Let's do it again.
And that's what happens. Right? You get, you know, 5-8 people on a board. Everybody's taking notes about where in the song. You've got some kind of a counter on the console itself, an analog counter, no less, back in the day before the digital stuff kicked in. And everybody watched that. Oh, yeah, at like, you know, 2 minutes and 13 seconds is when I need to push that fader up for the solo. And then at 2 minutes and, you know, 25 seconds is when it needs to come out. So you're thinking, you're looking at your piece of paper, you're moving a fader, you're working with a team of other people to make this all happen.
And now that human being has been replaced by a fairly simple set of code.
Yeah, now it's all what they call fader automation, right? So you just, you know, hit play on the song, and then you hit arm on the fader automation. And then whenever you make a move, let's say that same solo comes up. Oh, it's 2:13 into it. I got to push that solo up. And at 2:27, I got to pull that solo down. You do that. Now the automation remembers that move. And so the next time you hit play, you don't have to touch that fader. Uh-huh. If the fader is motorized, in fact, that fader will move for you as if the ghost is touching it.
Ooh.
And that's pretty sweet to see in action once you get a whole orchestrated mix going on and you've got faders moving up and down throughout the song for different dynamics and different pieces coming in. You got horn sections coming in. You got violins coming in. You got second, third vocals coming in, right? And all these faders are moving as you hit play and watch it. And then you get to be the mind behind that to orchestrate it all. That's pretty sweet.
All right.
That's I don't know how we got on this topic.
I don't know how we get off of this topic.
Accents.
Yeah. Hey, what's that all about?
I don't know. I think we were talking about how I wore the crown of shame.
No, it's that was the last time I made the text.
It was the plethora.
That was it. Plethora. And it's pronounced plethora.
Not plethora?
No.
Are you British? This is
what about plethora?
No, even if you're British, you're still wrong if you're saying plethora.
What about plethora?
That's even worse.
Okay.
Like, not only are you pronouncing it wrong, no one will have any idea what the heck you're talking about.
Dumb people will. Plethora talk live. Plethora.
Dumb people don't even know what a plethora is. They'll just like pretend. That. So if you call it a plethora, they'll just also and pretend.
For the first time ever, I feel like you're going to take Scooter up on the invitation to slap me.
For $1 million.
You know, as soon as I believe he's going to pay me, yeah.
Well, that's probably not likely. All right, so it is Free Talk Live. We have many, many things to talk about. What did I title the show? 4.5 million tickets.
Yahoos.
Where did 4.5 million tickets come from, you might ask? Well, you'll never guess.
You might guess.
Sounds like a really big show.
It's where they make bad salsa.
New York City.
New York! That's right, yeah.
New this York stuff's City. Made in New York City.
New York!
Sounds low.
Well, Tyler Durden reports from the activistpost.com. NYC speed cameras have issued 4.5 million tickets totaling hundreds of millions of dollars this year.
Automated. Not even real cops doing real cop work, like pulling people over and extorting money from them.
What's the Stallone and Bullock movie?
Oh, Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Come on.
This is straight out of Demolition Man. Man. Demolition Man.
Well,
man.
I mean, we haven't quite reached the point where the automated ticket maker is in the bathroom listening to you cuss.
You have been fined one credit.
Yet.
For violation of the verbal morality code.
I mean, the FCC exists, so as far as I'm concerned, we're like just a half step away from that.
Man, if you take your phone into the bathroom, they're listening to you in the bathroom, too.
That's true, but we haven't reached the point that, A, they're admitting that they listen to you in the bathroom, and, B, they start fining you for using naughty words for it.
Fair enough. They're already listening.
But
they know when I'm pooping.
When the day comes, they will not waste expensive paper that could be used to wipe your bottom by giving you tickets.
It'll just pop up as a presidential notification that you can't ignore.
Yeah, exactly. you'll just get a little notification. You now owe this for using...
The Biden administration fines you one credit.
So
two flushes. Always two flushes when you number two.
We have talked about on Free Talk Live how things are progressing.
I don't think it'll be that useful, honestly. Like, every time that YouTube tells me that they've, stopped something, they never tell you why. It's just, it's violated something.
Yeah.
Who knows what it's violated? Who knows what you were supposed to say but didn't say or weren't supposed to say but did say? But,
that's even worse than Demolition Man, because at least they give you the reason you can find the credits.
Right.
Be well. New York City speed cameras have issued 4.5 million tickets, totaling hundreds of millions this year. Just this year.
Yeah, okay.
Just this year, not like since the program began or...
Where are these cameras located? I feel like you can't really speed through New York City.
I mean, I feel like that too. It just seems to me like I've only driven through New York City one time, so my experience is very limited. But
it seems congested.
I can say is that, things didn't move very quickly.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, peak rush hour. Right, which is, 2.5-3 hours before and after the actual hour of rush.
Yeah,
which is like 5 o'clock. Right,
and it's only the rich people driving.
Yeah,
everyone else is on the
rush hour. Goes from like 3 until 7:30 or something like that in most big cities. Seattle was even one of them when I lived there. Like rush hour was like, if you want to get out of work early and beat the actual rush, you got to leave before 4. Right, yep. Because like 4 until probably 7. Was the normal, quote, rush hour, unquote, which I realize is like a 3-hour span.
Yeah, I think they invented using the pull-off as an extra lane of traffic there. Which, by the way, is one of the most antisocial behaviors you can engage in my opinion.
Well, and Seattle has this weird thing where all of their on-ramps and off-ramps are the same, right? They're one thing. So in the Midwest, if you're driving on a freeway... And it's like, hey, the town you want to get off on is, exit 7.
Okay.
Right? And so you take that exit and you go towards that town. Now, maybe somewhere between a half a mile and several miles down the road is the on-ramp from that same town putting you back on the freeway.
Okay.
In the Seattle, Washington area, however, those are together. So people coming on to the freeway have to zipper merge with people getting off the freeway into the same lane.
They have it backwards. I don't know why they do it backwards.
Well,
there should be like an exit entrance lane.
Right.
But you exit first to clear the lane.
Correct.
And then you enter afterwards.
Which is where it happens in almost every other place outside of the West Coast.
Okay.
The reason it doesn't happen that way on the West Coast, particularly in the Seattle area, is because Seattle is nothing but hills and mountains.
Okay.
So most of the freeway and highway and roadway systems there are a series of bridges.
Okay.
And so to maximize the use of whatever the heck it is they build, because they got to build these giant pylons and columns and...
I mean, I feel being on the West Coast, they had much more time to get this right.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Well...
things are more spread out west.
But what is right in the eyes of the state, right? Like, it's efficient, not efficient, but it's best bang for their buck that they can get.
Okay.
And so the city planners, if you will, these roadway planners, decided that we'll just make the on-ramps and the off-ramps the exact same thing and let people zipper merge, which, of course, does nothing to maximize the efficiency of your roadways. In fact, it slows everything down because now you've got backups in the far right lane going for miles, people who want to get off the freeway,
yep.
And then you've got backups going like down into the city for people who are trying to get on the freeway.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why it should be the opposite. Like, I get it, I get that space is limited.
Right.
Right, but they sacrificed efficiency.
Yeah. When you get outside of, like, Seattle proper, into, like, some of the burbs and stuff like that, then it sort of, okay. works itself out. But for whatever reason, Seattle proper is just this, I can't even say the word on the radio, it's just this mess.
Okay.
And
I like it when the same exits on both sides of the freeway as well. Right, like
I actually,
on and off, and then boom.
There's one of them
Would
here.
Would it be an S-storm or a cluster frack?
A cluster smurf.
Ah, there you go.
Yes. It's a very smurf situation.
It's a very smurf up situation.
Up. Yeah, yeah, all smurfed up. So anyway, in the first 9 months of New York City's school zone speed cameras.
School zone?
Yeah.
So they're really catching it because they've dropped those things down to like 15 or 20. And if you left your foot off the brake, you're going to hit 25 pretty quick.
Almost 4.5 million tickets have already been issued with fines totaling an astonishing hundreds of millions of dollars. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that's at least $200 million.
Okay.
Right, well, it says hundreds.
Technically, it has to be.
Hundreds of millions, so I'm just going out on a limb and
unless
saying,
you're calling Tyler Durden a liar.
You grammar Nazi.
I'm just saying.
First the tomatoes and the plethoras.
It was a plethora of tomatoes. Or a plethora of tomatoes.
Plethora of tomatoes.
I'd rather a plethora of tomatoes than a plethora of tomatoes.
I'm trying to figure out a band name. We are the tomato plethora. Or plethora? Wait, no. What's the right one?
Fried green plethoras.
He just told me there was, like, a half hour ago. You're like, no, there's only one way to pronounce it correctly.
Plethora.
So, if you're a band called the Tomato Plethora?
That's fine.
Okay, all right.
But if you're a band called the Tomato Plethora, violation.
Oh, what if you are a band called the Tomato Plethora, but you play in Mexico?
Bakeless, I'll let you take this one.
Doesn't that sound like, you know, like a Mexican accent?
No.
Do you think the Mexicans pronounce it plethora?
No.
Or plethora.
No.
Plethora.
No.
No what?
Let me translate this into Spanish for you.
The problem with the Mexicans, they don't have a word for plethora.
No.
El plethora? In French, it's la plethora.
Let me try French. No.
No. The speed cameras in New York City now monitor and issue citations continuously operating 24/7. Throughout the year after a considerable enlargement of the program in August of 2022.
Paid for by the money they stole earlier in the program to start the program to fine people for going a little too fast with little Jimmy at play.
Little Jimmy.
Well, frankly, if you wanted your kid to live, don't bring him to a public school.
Get him the Smurf.
Like, number one, that is the easiest place to get shot. Number two, if he survives, that's actually the worst fate.
And get him the Smurf out of New York City. I mean, like,
yeah.
If you really value your children, get the Smurf out of New York City. You know, like, seriously, I'm not even kidding. Just do it. It's totally worth your time and effort. 603-283-6160. We'll talk more about how much money these cameras are producing just in New York City alone. Coming up, it's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. In a Texas shooting, a police officer was killed, the shooter died, and another officer was wounded, with two additional individuals found dead in an Austin home. The incident, prompted by a stabbing report, escalated when officers responding to a woman's distress call encountered gunfire during an attempted entry, resulting in a SWAT team intervention that ended with the suspect's death and an officer's injury. No names have been released in the ongoing investigation. Major players in the tech industry are unveiling a new wave of workforce reductions.
Amazon is downsizing its music division, contributing to this year's global layoffs exceeding 27,000 employees. The most recent job cuts are impacting workers in Latin America, North America, and Europe. Simultaneously, Google is set to reduce its staff in the consumer services department. Social media firm Snap is streamlining its workforce, parting ways with nearly 20 product managers, and housing website Zillow is letting go of nearly 24 employees across various teams. I'm John Schaefer.
Skip Kelly, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. No? Welcome back. Welcome back, Cotter. Anyone? Right. Yeah.
Ooh, oh, ooh, I didn't catch
ooh,
it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I know that song.
Name the character.
Hmm?
The character that all the time in Welcome Back, Cotter went, ooh, 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 ooh.
Never really watched the show.
All I can tell you is up your nose with a rubber hose.
Oh, yeah. Twice as far with a chocolate bar.
Nice.
In your ear with a can of beer. And if you don't like that, try a baseball bat. Yeah, that was, I think it was trying to remember the guy's name, the guy who played Cotter, Gabe, don't remember his last name, but it was him and I think Rick Dees. It was like, Rick Dees was a comedian, but Rick Dees nuts. but he also did some funny music. Rick Dees did a song called Eat My Shorts, long before The Simpsons were ever invented. And it was basically him getting a divorce, right? And so he's like, eat my shorts, yes, choke on polished cotton, eat my shorts, everything we had is rotten, and baby, I'll see you in court, eat my shorts, nice. Right? And so, like, in my mind, before The Simpsons were ever, The Simpsons first appeared on the Tracy Ullman Show, right? One of the first Fox original productions, and it was just a bit, like, you know, 5-minute cartoon that appeared during this comedy skit show, and that was spun off into what we all know today as The Simpsons, which has been on for 30 years now or something, right? But Rick Dees, his song appeared on, like, Solid Gold. It appeared, I think he did a thing with Tracy Ullman on the Tracy Ullman Show, and then the song that I mentioned earlier with him, or with Gabe, K
Kaplan, I think, is the actor's name.
That sounds
Dave
right.
Dave Kaplan and Rick Dees
like
was...
Starts with a K. What is it?
Was the... Not Eat My Shorts. What was the thing you said originally?
Up Your Nose with a Rubber
Up Your Nose
hose.
With a Rubber Hose, right. Yeah. And so, because I'm a fan of Dr. Demento, these songs got airplay not only on regular terrestrial radio for a short period of time, but they showed up on the Dr. Demento show repeatedly. And I think, like, Dr. Demento is still doing a show for any of you who are fans. He's still doing a show. It's just not on radio anymore. You go to drdemento.com. You got to pay, I don't know, $5-$10 a month or something, right? To like, and then you have access to the entire Demento archives.
Wow.
Right? So, yeah. And he still does a show weekly on Sundays, but it's just not on radio anymore. It was just more cost effective for them to go to the web only thing and use his collection to the advantage and collect
wasn't
subscribers.
Wasn't his whole thing being weird?
Well, I mean,
like, wasn't that basically the shtick? Like, that was right.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
How do you even do that now?
Well, you don't do it now. Like, like Dr. Demento literally had to move at some point because the weight of his record and CD collection was too much for the apartment in which he lived in, and there was some question about the structural integrity of where he lived. And
I mean,
so,
get a storage unit, man.
Well, okay, but like, you know. You're already paying rent in California somewhere, so,
okay.
You know, like, you're going to try and house as much of that as you can in your own place, right?
All right.
Save the money.
Unless it requires me to move.
And, like, while Dr. Demento has achieved fame, I'm pretty sure fortune eluded him.
Okay.
Right? Like, he didn't, it's not like he didn't get paid, but, like, he's not a multimillionaire or anything like that.
Okay.
Like, Weird Al Yankovic is a multimillionaire, right? And Dr. Demento launched his career almost single-handedly because no one else would play parodies. And still to this day, it's hard for parody artists to get airplay because none of the distributors, none of the stations want to take the risk of getting sued. Like, parody is protected by law, but you can only invoke fair use as a defense. You can't up front be like, hey, I'm putting this song out, it's fair use, it's a parody, it's comedy, it's satire, it's, you know, social commentary, it's politically charged, whatever it is, whatever your reason. You can't just say that up front and be like, oh yeah, that's fine, we'll publish it. No.
But Captain, we have free speech in this country.
No. You have to find a publisher and a radio station who are both willing to risk the lawsuit, so the infamy, the publicity, if you will. Right. Some stations are like, yeah, our ratings are down. We need some press right now. Right. Yeah, we'll go ahead and play. Like, occasionally you can find
somebody
like that.
Sometimes there's no such thing as bad press.
Right. But most of the time, parody songs are not getting played on the radio, with the exception of the former Dr. Demento show.
Hmm.
And that was a syndicated radio program, and they just ate all of the risk to do this one show.
And part of it is just that music is such a closed system at this point. So, like, there are very few, very powerful actors in that. So if you get a reputation for snubbing any one of those, then the others won't work with you. And since it's not one of those situations where a whole bunch of new people can come in and be like, oh, well, that you're just leaving money on the table. I will totally do that. It's very insular.
Yeah. Well, and certainly as far as any artists doing pastiche, parody, anything in that vein, it is difficult for them to achieve airplay. There's some websites that allow, like, I'm on Bandcamp for my parody songs, right? Because they're like, yeah, whatever, we don't care. It's fine. Like, if you make so much money that somebody's going to sue you about it, we'll take the risk, right? And like, no one has, because they already know. They're like, "Oh, it's fair use." Like, people are like, "Well, Weird Al gets permission from everybody." Well, no, technically he doesn't. But he tries, right? Most of the time, he'll reach out to an artist and be like, "Hey, I'm thinking about parodying your song. Cool?" And they'll be like, "Cool." Or they'll be like, no, it's not cool. And he'll respect that decision. But
maybe
legally, it's not necessary.
Well, there's a question. Has he ever received word back and then done it anyway?
Yes.
Yeah?
One time.
Once?
Yeah.
Which one are you thinking of?
Not Amish Paradise, but... oh, God.
I don't know that one.
All right, which one are you thinking of?
I don't know the song, but it was Eminem.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the one. Like, he actually had asked...
Yeah.
But I like something happened, and he, I don't know. He claims he thought he had permission, but the permission never actually did arrive, and he went ahead and did it anyway.
I just remember the debut on MTV. He was like, I don't have permission for this, so there's no video. So here's the debut, and he just held up a boombox and let the song play.
That is pretty funny.
And what's amazing about the Dr. Demento show is that people would submit their own parodies, and they would do this by way of using what I call a multi-boombox system. So before digital technology and computers where you just plug stuff in and record stuff to a computer and multi-track and all that kind of stuff, they would just take, like, an original song on cassette and put a cassette into a boombox all queued up, ready to play that song, put it on one side of, like, their bathroom, and they would take another boombox and put a blank cassette in it, right, and set that to record, and they would hit go on both boomboxes simultaneously with them in between the two boomboxes. Okay. So that as they sang over the original song, the vocals were a bit louder than the music in the background, and the new boombox was then recording both the new vocal and the old song behind it, albeit highly reverbed out because you're in a bathroom. But then they would take that and, you know, hit save, make a copy for themselves, drop that in the mail, send it to Dr. Demento, and then Dr. Demento would, you know, hey, either he himself or he'd have somebody, like, go through all the submissions and, like, pick out the ones that he thought were worthy of airplay, and then give them a shot. It's pretty awesome. You know, so Dr. D was, like, early indie, you know, style promotion for specifically for a niche market of parody artists. So, much respect. What were we talking about?
A plethora of articles.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about New York City speed cameras having issued 4.5 million tickets just this year, worth over hundreds of millions of dollars. So when we
are they worth that?
When we anarchists / libertarian types talk about revenue generators,
this is it.
In relation to policing, this is a prime example of what that is.
On the subject, something that it kind of boggles my mind how incredible people are at overlooking the nature of government, but just about everyone, you know, under, say, 60 at this point has figured out the idea that if there is no charge for a service, you are the product. Like, that's a pretty standard thing to be aware of.
If you're
like
Facebook, you should know this intimately.
Right. Yes. Facebook is a perfect example.
Google.
Right. Right. All of these things that there's no charge for, well, you are the product.
Okay.
Like, anyone with any amount of savvy is aware of this.
Yes.
And then there's government services.
Okay.
Right. It is amazing to me that no one realizes that they are the product.
Well, what... If you're the product with a government service, how are they using you, and what are they selling?
Well, so for example, I did not receive an upfront charge for the use of these roads. Okay. I mean, sure, I had to do all of these things to not get busted to use them, but I didn't pay for these roads. I'm not a road subscriber, right? And that's because I'm the product.
Well, but with Google
because
and
they
Facebook,
will periodically extract from me whatever they feel the need to extract, so long as I want to use their roads.
Well, that's not you. That's not you being the product. That's being you being a forced customer, right? Like Facebook and Google, you're the product because they take your information and they sell it to other people who then market to you their products and services.
Right.
Right.
Well,
so
that's one side of it. Another side of it entirely is that, for example, if Google wants to shift the probability of an election, they just change the algorithm for your search results. If Facebook wants to shift opinion on a particular disease, for example, they just downplay all of the times where people are saying, no, I don't think this is actually a threat.
Yeah, and they don't
and
even have to
play all the times where people are like really concerned
and
about
they don't
it.
Even have to make up the we'll call it the propaganda, right? Because people make their own propaganda for whatever their opinion is. So all Facebook or Google or Twitter or any of these social media companies need do is just accent or put into a higher rotation, if you will, the memes, the propaganda, the, you know, whatever posts that, you know, sort of fit whatever they're trying to promote.
Right.
Right. They just increase the frequency that those are seen amongst their entire user base in order to change public opinion.
Well, they do all that, but I don't know if those activities make you the product. Right. That's a resulting activity.
Well, okay. Here's how you tell. Do you pay anything to be on Facebook?
Well, again, I'm not saying that you don't, that you're not the product with Facebook.
And I'm not saying that that isn't part of how they harvest you.
Okay.
Definitely. Part of how they harvest you is by harvesting your information, selling that to advertisers.
That's what makes you the product.
No, that's not the only thing.
Okay.
That is part of what makes you the product. Part of what makes you the product is that they have your trust in the same way that Dan Rather had people's trust a while back. Like, the idea of this is the news. This is true facts about the actual reality that I'm living in. And people go to Facebook for that.
Right. But
or they go to Google for that.
Then your opinion, they're modifying your opinion and then selling your opinion to politicians.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, it's just on a micro scale compared to what it was before the internet. So before the internet, it was radio and television, and it was genuinely easy for the state to acquire what most people believed to be popular opinion.
Right, but I'm trying to relate this to, like, being the product when it comes to government. Like,
when it comes to government, right, yeah.
You're not the product. They're not selling your information.
I mean, it's, no, you are the product. They are the selling purchaser. You.
To who? To China?
Well, among other things.
Okay.
Well, part of you, yes. See, that's the thing. It's not one place that all of this power is going to.
Yeah.
It's a whole consortium that is bidding for this part and that part.
The entire Federal Reserve banking system. The entire Federal Reserve banking system illustrates this.
Does it?
Right? Because the reason the United States has such a great credit rating with central banks is because they're banking on you continuing to pay your taxes.
Right.
That's the collateral they use to get all these loans. They're like, well, we have a population of 395 million, whatever the United States population is, 390-some million people, whatever.
I thought it was around 330.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. 300 million people or more. Because we're the government and we're taxing them, we know that it's just like you doing your calculation for your mortgage. You're like, well, I make, 80 grand a year and my house payment's going to be $1,000. And so I make three times, it's just like you doing that calculation.
So
it's just the government doing the calculation, except you, the taxpayer, or the tax cattle, if you will. They're milking you for the interest on these bloated loans that they're taking out to fund wars.
Yeah. Ultimately, there's two things that get harvested from you. One of them is you do what someone tells you to do. And the other is you go out and, in your own creative capacity, produce some actual value for some other person, and they get a chunk of that.
Right. But in the government extraction, the transaction is they are providing you a service and then forcibly extracting the payment. Like you're a captive customer. Not the product.
What service might they claim to be providing? Because we already know.
Cops and roads.
We already know that they have no duty to protect.
I gotcha.
So, what were the other ones?
Course, cops and roads. Cops. Those are the big ones.
And roads. All of which we don't need government to provide.
I'm not saying we do. But what I'm saying is what they extract from you in their mind is payment for those services. Like you're a captive customer. You're not they're not selling you to China. They're not saying, well, we've got captive kickass here, and
captive kickass.
Okay, fine, captive kickass. We've got captive kickass.
It would be captive kickass.
And we know the Chinese people need That's a radio so personality, so we're gonna trade him to China. Like, you're not the product. You're a captive customer. You're forced to pay.
No, you absolutely are the product because you are what produces value.
They don't care if you produce value.
No, they absolutely do. That is what this whole system is set up to extract. You produce value.
But they give it to somebody else.
Right.
Right, because they don't produce anything themselves.
But they're not giving you to somebody else. The transactional relationship is not one of a product like it is in Facebook and Google.
Yeah, for me, the analogy of the Matrix is more accurate, right? You are the battery, if you will, that they're extracting energy from in order to forward their goals.
I got it.
You are the cattle, you're the cow with which they're milking, and the milk is your tax money.
Right, but in that analogy, they're also giving that milk back to other cows. Or using that battery to charge other batteries.
Right, but without...
It from everybody.
But first, they're taking a healthy chunk off the top for themselves and their friends.
Got it.
So do you know anything about how electronics work?
Generally, yes.
Okay. taking that energy from this battery and putting it into this battery is exactly how they work.
Okay. Yeah,
that's how that works.
But that makes the other battery's not the product. It's the recipient. You can't make the analogy work for everybody. Because some people are recipients of the energy.
So, sure. Some people are more like a battery, and some people are more like a capacitor. Some people are more like a resistor.
Okay.
But what I want is...
I'm a resistor. What?
There you go.
I'm here doing this.
Fair enough. So, what I want is for my program, for example, to my little TV show to show up on my phone. Now, in order for that to happen, I have to send this energy from this battery through these resistors, through these capacitors, so on and so forth, in order to get the thing that I want.
Got it.
So, all of those pieces are people.
I got it. If I sell you a phone...
It has all of these pieces in it, and those pieces better work, or I'm not selling you something that you want to give me what I want in exchange for.
Which is the money.
Right.
Right. But again, so the government, you just give me the phone.
So those pieces are a product.
Well, the pieces are inputs to a product.
Yeah,
like with Google and Facebook, you get the service for free. Right. And we say free because there's no monetary exchange.
Right.
But the payment is the data. Right, that's what makes you the product. Right. You are paying them data in exchange
that's
for
part
a
of it.
Service.
Right.
That's most of it.
So where are you the product of government?
That's the question. I don't think you're necessarily the product of government. You're captive customer.
You are collateral for government.
Okay.
Right.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, no. So like okay, the U.S. can borrow dollars, borrow yen or whatever. The reason that anyone is willing to do that...
Because they're going to collect your taxes later.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Right.
I'm not ignorant to this concept.
That's how you're collateral, right? Like,
but you're not the collateral. The product of your labor is the collateral.
The expectation exists that they will be able to harvest from you your creative potential in the future.
But the quantity,
because of that,
the quantity of human beings with which they are extracting this wealth from is certainly the collateral.
But that's diminishing the more they give away.
Well, how is it diminishing? Like,
because the more energy they take from rich people.
I mean, we're over $33 billion in debt, the U.S. it is. And that's,
okay, so where's that, where, how is using taxpayer money as collateral going to pay that off in the future? It's not.
Well, no, it's not. In fact, income tax that is collected by the IRS...
Barely pays the interest.
Barely pays, and it might not even pay the interest.
And you don't
point.
Even need to do that because they just print more money.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's how they continue to get the loans, by using you as the collateral.
I got it.
Against the loan.
I get it.
Or using the population and the percentage of which they actually collect taxation from us.
I get it in theory.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't follow.
Let me give you an example of why you are the product. So right now you're using U.S. dollars.
Sure.
Right. Now, it is in the best interest of those running the United States federal government that you continue to use U.S. dollars.
Okay.
Now, because of that, they're going to do things like say, hey, if you use cryptocurrency, then we will come after you.
Okay.
So, your actual production is the thing that they want. They don't care about the dollars. They can literally print those.
Right.
What they want is your activity, your attention,
they don't need
your
need
energy.
That. They don't need it. The only thing they extract out of all of that is the dollars, which they can already print.
That's retarded. Why would they do that?
Why would they do
that? Why would they extract dollars that they can print? It's because they're extracting what the dollars are symbolic of.
Which is what?
Productivity.
Your life's effort.
Your life's effort.
They don't need it.
Of course they
do. My life's effort is denominated in dollars.
Number one, they do literally need it. Number two...
They don't need it.
They don't need anyone to be productive.
Now, if they're going to print the dollars anyway, they don't need anyone to be productive.
Okay.
They don't need it.
Okay.
As you noted, Captain, they're $40 trillion in debt. The money that they collect from productive individuals barely covers the interest.
Yep.
Yet they're going to go deeper in debt... It's not from the productive activity of 300 million Americans that's going to drive us further in debt. It's going to be them printing more dollars.
Right, and or taking loans out, which is the same kind of thing, really.
Or taking loans out against the tax money that they're going to collect in the future that we already know doesn't even cover the interest.
Right, making
if people become less productive, like actual wealth, if people are simply less productive, then they will print more dollars as an attempt to get people to do more stuff.
Okay.
That's what they always do. So if you stop being as productive, they will print more dollars. If you continue to be productive, they will print dollars at the current schedule.
So if you're less
productive. If you are way more productive,
they will actually
print less dollars because they don't need to do a stimulus package to get people to do a bunch of things.
So if you're less productive and you're giving them no productivity, as you just said, they will just print more dollars.
Right.
Because they don't need your productivity. They just need the dollars.
No. The printed dollars are the attempt to get your productivity out of you. That's what those are there for.
Then they're foolish because that clearly hasn't worked. Right? They've been
fighting. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They've inflated the currency so much where there's an anti-work movement going on amongst the youths, right? Nobody wants to work. You know, nobody wants to work.
I thought it was just you.
Just me? No, I clearly don't want to work, but you know, I do.
Are you part of the youths?
The youths?
Yeah,
of course I am. Right.
Are you the youths?
It is interesting to note that government, if you will, is burning the candle at both ends, right? Not only are they taxing you as an individual and your productivity on your labor?
Unnecessarily.
They are also borrowing at a rate in which is totally impossible to repay.
Which is why they can already just do that.
Well, right. But that's the other half of this. So part of it is your productivity, and part of it is the control. They're getting you to do less of whatever they tax. By regulating things, they get you to do less of whatever they're regulating.
I was reading an article today that, like, the whole job situation. Like, they can't get, like, one qualified person to fill the job description. So they're taking the job description and dividing it in half or even thirds and getting one person to fill one third of the role at, like, a reduced salary or whatever it is, because they can't find one person with all the qualifications for this previous role,
right,
which is totally interesting. 603-283-6160. More on these automated speed cameras. It's Free Talk.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.